Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host Robert, and this week's episode definitely will not have two sets of closed captions running simultaneously. And with me I have...
Charlie should have headlined Glastonbury over fucking Matt Healy, you fuckers!
And...
The double sub first one is on, and... You know what? No, I can't do it.
We're
this
skipping
again.
It this year. This sucks.
Yeah, it's like, there's no, like, I'm just going to do these things I want to do. I'll be honest, I'm old. Okay, fuck it. I'm old than these two yet. I don't feel like it, but still, like, who are these people names? Like, you got motherfuckers like DM Triplin, 1-900 Rugrat. Laser Dev 700, EBK J-Bo, Low Shimmy. Hell, the normal name is Ray Vaughn. He's from the Top Dog Entertainment, so at least he might be something there. I mean, let's not forget, Dochi was on that list too a few years back, and look at her now.
Yeah, everyone is apparently roasting her on the internet for a big song that honestly isn't even really that bad. Y'all are just weird. Like, fight the real enemy. Aim all that hatred towards Alex Warren like you should.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or any other.
Fucking God. Ugh.
Aim it to him and, I don't know, fucking Morgan Wallen, why not?
Ugh.
Or whoever in the top 10 this week. Well, that's not Kendrick.
Yeah. So, like, I'm actually looking at, like, the magazine cover right now, and it's like, this is the first year where I looked at the freshman class and I thought, is this a prank? Like, is this an April Fool's Day that's a bunch of months late? There's no way any of these are real. Okay, I'm not the biggest expert when it comes to slang, but this kind of feels like, okay, I never watched The Office, but wasn't there a joke that, like, it was like Nick Robinson's character made up slang to fuck with every white guy in that office? Something like that? Because that's what reading these names feels like. Like, what the fuck is an EBK J-Bo? Bitch, get the fuck out of here and get a real fucking name. My God. Anyway,
Yeah, it's like, for the past, I want to say since we've been doing this, but then again, I think we weren't around when we started, you know, covering XXL freshman shit, but I think around, like, 2017?
I'm gonna have to double check, but...
Because...
Yeah, I think there might have been a year or two we skipped.
We're tapping out. I feel old. This makes me feel. This is say like, God, I'm old. I don't listen to most of the shit that they put out.
We'll revisit this on a day when we get a group of people who don't look like they all only get their music taste from the TikTok For You page.
I mean, here's hoping Ray Vaughn do well on Top Dog.
Yeah, we'll see.
But yeah,
here we are, episode 398. How's everyone's week been going?
Well, you know how the song goes. It's just one of those days you don't want to wake up. Everything is fucked. Everybody sucks. That's been me for the last week. My God, it's just been busy, and very hot. It's gotten to the point where I come home, and I just take a nap for an hour. Mm. I should not be taking naps when I get home. I'm not that old, but my body is just not liking all this, especially with how hot it is outside. Nevertheless, the only thing of note I can say happened was that I got my car inspected and tagged today, which was a bit of an experience and an adventure, because I was told, We can't pass it because the backup lights aren't working. We can fix it for you. And went, okay, sure, no problem. Then they said, yeah, apparently, so the lights aren't the problem. It's like the switch that's the problem. I went, oh, great. Now I gotta work on trying to get that fixed. And then they tell me, we read the terms for inspections, and yeah, you're good. We didn't need to do that anyway, so thanks for giving me a goddamn heart attack in the fucking shop, guys.
Maybe they say, yeah, I didn't know there's a barrier car.
Yeah, like, it figures. Here in North Carolina, we have very strict rules for car inspections, whereas in South Carolina, they don't give a fuck. You could drive a fucking key truck down the road in South Carolina if you wanted to.
Goddamn.
Of which I will say I recently saw a couple of those key trucks out in the wilds. They are very cool and very practical, and I wish more people would be into them. It's all you need. Two seats, a steering wheel, and a flatbed. You don't need anything else.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, let's see. It's still hot out. I'm pretty sure this weekend, I'm pretty sure my work is going to be even longer because I don't know. It's like you're going to be working 6 days for 1 week, and then I may be off for 2 days, but then after that, I'm going to work the next 8 days, which or I don't know. And yeah, it's just the usual thing. And well, what's the cool thing this week? I got a new TV.
Hey!
Hooray!
It's a full HD one. It's one I got for cheapest. It was like $180. Still is an upgrade, all right? Because the PC that I had lasted for 20 years or 20 plus years. So
damn.
You can imagine that. Oh wow! This feels more feel like it's a bigger screen. It's actually the new TV is one of those the ones with Roku built in it, which you know I already own. I should turn this one off it looks better. It like a different room, and hopefully this will last longer. Stuff I watched. Well, considering Alex mentioned this a couple of days back, the day the Ark blew up. Classic Duty 2 shit. Gotta dig it.
I gotta get around to that.
Probably paid up because apparently it's doing really well on Max. Like the number three movie.
Wow, it's almost like these fucking people didn't have to sell it after all.
Yeah.
But they did because they're fucking stupid.
Yeah, that's what I was discovering for. Your release. But they used to be. I don't know. So that's my week.
Hey, cool. As for me, well, first, my proudest achievement of the past week. Boys, I finally got gold stake on a deck.
About time. I did that like 2 months ago.
Look. I need you to understand just how many tries I put into it. So, like, okay, for context, I gold staked the yellow deck. So, starting off with $14. The strategy that I had happened to look into, it involved Cavendish, the Four of a Kind multiplier, but it was Eternal, the Boot, and the Cloud Nine Joker. You can imagine I was funneling a lot of nines into my deck with the tarot cards, and I also had the DNA Joker, and oh man, it was beautiful seeing my cash rack up. I got like $650 some odd. I cleared up to like ante 11 before I bit the dusto, as they say in JoJo's. But, oh god, that was a good feeling. Can't wait to suffer all over for it again with the other decks.
Yep, because now you have 14 more decks to do. As for me, yeah, once was enough, and I'm good playing casual for the rest of my life. Plus, I have to play it on other consoles now.
Yeah, let's see, what else? Well, just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in, because they just released the Persona 5 gacha game Phantom X worldwide, and man, I'm never done with this shit, am I? Let's see, there was also, I didn't really see a movie, but it was quite a lot of, not that anime season's wrapping up, I'm trying to finish up some things and catch up on some other things. Witch Watch is still pretty fun, and I realized Keigo Megami really is just like me for real.
I was like, Witch Watch was pretty good this season. I really like that show.
It's good.
It's as good as the manga, and the manga's a lot of fun. What else? There was the new season of Black Butler was just wrapped up. Liked it better than the public school arc. You know, because Germany is a much more interesting setting than knockoff Hogwarts. There was, of course, Lazarus wrapping up, which, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I thought was interesting. But I'm realizing between this and Terran Resonance, we really need to let Watanabe have a 2-core minimum. And actually, for that matter, maybe the whole industry needs a 2-core minimum. Yeah. Why is that not the standard anymore?
Wish for the longer. This is going to somebody who is going to, well, y'all know my opinion of the show, but this is going to somebody who, yeah, this should have been like a longer series.
Yeah, it seems to be a very common occurrence. You have all this cool stuff happening, and then somebody realizes, oh shit, we only have 2 episodes to wrap everything up. Fuck.
Yeah, that's apparently been happening with, well, okay, Go-Go Loser Ranger is just fucking losing it with the pacing. But seriously, like, just, it's such a, from my perspective at least, being a very frustrating experience. Like, I've actively spent the last 2 days locked in my own head doing so many, like, rewrites of how I think this could have gone better. And if anybody's listening to this is gonna get weirdly uppity just because someone didn't like this show, look, yeah, I gotta get over it. It's fine. People are allowed to dislike things. It's not going to affect the show in any way. Because, of course, it's selling on the iTunes store. It's being streamed on Max. And if you're really that concerned about whether or not it has the sauce, I'd like to let you know that I was scrolling Blue Sky the other day and found kinky fan art of Doug and Axel staring at each other, getting ready to explore each other's bodies biblically. Pun intended. I think you're fine.
Yeah, we just need the return of the... two of the 24-episode-long shows again.
Okay,
Gundam.
Okay, I'm not sure that's. I'm not sure who that directed towards. I don't know if it's me or I don't know.
No, that's just in general.
No.
It's nothing personal against you. Like,
okay.
We're talking like the super super uppity weebs on the internet who have a very peculiar hate boner for. Shows with quote-unquote Western involvement.
Oh, those assholes. Oh, yeah.
Look, I'm just saying, like the show, dislike the show. Unless it's said otherwise, someone disliking the show is not an attack on you personally. Unless you're a Solo Leveling fan, in which case I will attack you personally, because I finished watching season one of that shit, and I'm like, you know, I already stopped taking this seriously at episode 3, but when it literally ends on an episode with the line, I guess I won't be Solo Leveling anymore. Bitch, get the fuck out of here!
That's how they jingle the keys for the audience and they go, yay, he said the thing! It's fucking terrible.
Remember, this is the second season.
And I don't mean Alex of the podcast. I mean Alex Lee, the voice actor. The pay could not have been that good.
Well, it was Aniplex.
Oh, fuck. It probably was.
I mean, it's the same voice, the same guy who voiced characters like Zenitsu in Demon Slayer. What's his face? Serena Girlfriend. Shit, I mean, I don't know, some other dude from that one show I forgot about. Some,
I mean, clearly the pay is good, otherwise he would not be committing to the scene that will happen.
Yeah,
that fucking show.
But see, the thing is, at least Demon Slayer had one good season and a pretty good movie. Solo Leveling sucked for the beginning.
But a bunch of uppity 10-year-olds who are addicted to sugary energy drinks love it, so yeah. Poo-poo to all of us.
Yeah, and consider we'll talk about a show when second season, people bitched about him showing emotion during one scene. AKA, it's like, well, show emotion? Huh, what a pussy. Yeah, bad.
Oh, that's not going to be fun to watch. And yes, I will force myself to watch it because I believe in being an educated hater. It's like, I can make fun of the Twilight movies because I paid to see a few of those in theaters. I know what I'm talking about. But let's move on to something that's actually quality art. I also decided to finally catch up on that there Kowloon generic romance, which, first of all, that show needs a trigger warning at the beginning for the fact that it's just going to casually introduce you to one of the top 20 most beautiful anime women ever made. And I'm not sure if that's a hot take or not, but consider the scene where Reiko Kujirai is painting that room. That's not fair!
Oh, gosh.
And it also gets more unfair because, like, okay, so I'm watching, okay? My brain is trying to work pretty hard to keep up with the honestly very interesting and legitimately compelling mystery plotting going on. And then we get to episode 7 where there's naked androgynous beefcakes going at it. Like, my brother in Christ, I can't be solving mysteries and having horny fantasies about being the meat in that sandwich at the same time. And if you think that's too much thirsting on main for this podcast, keep in mind that we are recording this on the last day of Pride Month. I'm allowed to.
Counterpoint. Skill issue.
Look, we can't all have that much brain power, okay? I am not you, sadly.
Yes, some of us know how to multitask. And believe me, I do it on the regular.
Hey!
Oh yeah, I will add on to the Kowloon generic romance, which I was also a very good show. It has a kick-ass opening theme. I really like that song.
Like, oh yeah, fucking banger.
Yeah, yeah. Then I got two anime songs from this season that I won't skip. Yes, two.
But yeah, that's about all of everything on my end, because we should probably move on to the usual weekly business, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description, so you could follow along with us, mark your calendars for new albums, put stuff on your playlist, all that jazz. So let's start right here at the top. One of these days, we're going to get a new album from Carnivool. Someday. Keep in mind, the last time we heard from this Australian prog metal band was in 2013, at least in album form. And since then, pretty much nothing studio-wise, save for a flicker of activity with a new song back in 2021. I didn't even double-check to see if we ever talked about it at that point, but anyway, now we're talking about them here, because they did in fact drop a new song, their second new song of the decade. It is called Drone. And looking at this song, it kind of opens in some familiar territory for the group. There's a lot of very echoing layers of melodic guitars and the drums pushing this, like, very somewhat off-kilter triplet groove. Like, it's easy enough to lock into. It's just kind of the ways that, like, the hi-hats are accentuated that sort of throws you off if you're not paying too much attention. There's a lot of those high-range melodic vocals. After the intro, we get, like, a pre-chorus with a lot of this, like, unusual distorted syncopation. The kind of sort of genty grooves that you would expect from this band. If I had to compare it to anything, like, honestly, a lot of the melodies here sometimes kind of feel like they're, like, parallel to stuff like A Perfect Circle, just, like, with a different vocalist in place of Maynard James Keenan. And more djent. You can't forget about the djent. So, I think this is a solid enough song. Like, the melodies sound nice, the grooves are pretty interesting. Come on, can we get a new album already? It's been, like, 12 years.
Yeah. Now, admittedly, I'm not super versed into the lore, so this is another one-shot response here. It's pretty good. Has a nice groove to it. and maybe we'll get closer to that fourth album coming out sometime in the next 5 years, maybe.
You know, it'll probably drop the same day as Necrophagist.
Never.
Anyway, let's move on to the next track here. So, we got more DJ Sabrina in the house, motherfuckers. DJ Sabrina, the teenage DJ. So, we do know that, I mean, you can't be surprised by this, she's going to be dropping a new album at some point this year. We don't know when, she just said so. But we do have a taste of the new album here in the form of a song called Throwdown. And it is a, you know, 7-minute track. It's definitely got, like, some of the nostalgic, sort of hypnagogic dance vibes going on. But it's a little bit of a different beast. Like, okay, it's a much slower kind of song in comparison to a lot of her more usual high-energy tempos and production. And the drums definitely have, like, this unusual sort of a tinge to them. A lot of glitchy, buzzed-out accentuations playing off the more dreamy, glistening synth patterns. So, take it with a grain of salt, depending on how you like your DJ Sabrina energy-wise, but on the slower side of things, this is honestly pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I will say it does remind me of, like, those, mid-2000s, like, trying to dance songs, like, you know, like, in the video where it's, like, you got all these, like, people, like, you got the eyes covered, the bars, all that, with all that shit, and you're like, okay, I wonder who that is, or isn't it? No, or maybe it's that, no, and then, I don't know, for me, like, in the video, they keep, like, the song title, which keeps saying, you keep hearing over again, like, you know, like, DJ Sabrina, the teenage DJ, Throwdown, like, it just appears everywhere. It's just very, like, I mean, I don't know why I commented that, but it's like, it keeps showing up everywhere. It's like, it's there, it's over there, it's over there, it's behind Alex, it's over there. Like, you know, like that.
Ah, so that's where DJ Sabrina went. But, yeah, I think that about covers that. So let's move on to the next song here. Here's a new act that, well, okay, not new in the grand scheme of the timeline, but new to the rotation of this podcast, because I like to mix things up every now and then. So, some of you, if you pay attention to the death metal scene, might be aware of this band from Ohio that's been kicking around since 2019 called Sanguisugabog. I think that's how it's pronounced. Do not correct me on this. But yeah, they made a decent name for themselves in the scene. I think having a really weird name like that definitely helps. But I mean, some of their music's pretty solid as far as like a contemporary death metal type stuff. Not to mention, there was a lot of attention that they got last year due to a couple of controversies. One of them involving getting permanently suspended from Instagram due to some shit involving online scammers trying to rip off fans through impersonating the group on Instagram, which involved a ridiculous tale about the band being signed to a label founded by, and I shit you not here, the scammers actually thought that this would be a plausible lie, J. Cole.
Wait, what?
Oh, God.
Yes, as in, that's J. Cole, which this is, bar none, one of the stupidest scam ideas I've ever heard of. Because, look, if you're going to try and convince people to spend money on merch for a metal band, and you're going to involve a famous rapper in the mix, you don't go J. Cole. You go Lil Uzi Vert. He's a known metalhead. How do you fuck up a scam like this?
Yeah, it's like you go for the guy who's really J. Cole, like, to get me go for like him or Denzel Curry,
him too.
Like,
but I mean, sorry, that was just, that whole thing was just like, God, that is almost like, that is what the fuck is wrong with you tier of like scamming. But now we have word of the band's third album, Hideous Aftermath, coming out October 10th. Hey, 10-10, that's kind of funny. We have the lead-off single here, Abhorrent Conception, and yeah, it kind of slaps. So, hitting play on this song, it starts off with a bunch of slow and steady grooves in the outset, plenty of double kick chugging and meaty grooves combined with some dissonant chord progressions, some more pounding, slower, like just triple stomps on the kicks, And of course, those really menacing dissonant melodies in addition to the chord progressions. But as the song goes on, we'll get to like some of these triplet sections as the things kind of gradually ramp up into territory with like a lot of really nasty guitar tremolos, some hard hitting blast beats. I'd say this is kind of somewhere between like Dying Fetus and one of my new death metal favorites, the band Sivorous. And of course, at about like the 3 minute 30 second mark, the drums start getting like really creative with these kind of unusual grooves with a lot of intricate ghost notes and these kind of buck wild fills and sticking patterns. And of course, can't forget about a lengthy sample before the good old pig squeal vocals and breakdown. So as someone who considers himself a connoisseur of the death metal, I can't say this is a 3-star course.
Yep, I will concede. Or I'll concur, not concede, concur, that this is some good, chunky, ringy death metal goodness. Just laying some thick riffs and a tight snare and I'm down. It's very Ohio. That's what kids say when things are good, right?
I guess it depends. What section of Ohio are we talking here? Because if it's Toledo, then that would be great, because that's where Scott the Boss is from.
Yeah, let's go with that.
That is the Decibel Boost motto. Sang with Sugabog is the Scott the Waz of metal bands.
It doesn't make sense, but fuck you, our jokes are never good anyway.
It makes about as much sense as someone who says that Chibi Robo Ziplash is a good game. But anyway, let's move on to the next track here. So, as we all know, on September 12th this year, we will see the return of current deathcore heavyweights Lorna Shore with their new album, I Feel the Ever Black Festering Within Me. Still a baller-ass album title, in my opinion. And, of course, we have single number 2 here from the record, Unbreakable. So, the first minute or so does ramp up with kind of a lot of the usual Lorna Shore-isms, though it does seem like the song has a greater, like, clarity in its grooves and even its melodies. Like, the drums aren't quite as saturated and crazy. There's definitely, like, you know, you do get some of those rapid drum fills and kicks. You do get, but that's kind of played off with some of the more, like, it's played against with more sparse, like, clear, steady sticking patterns and kick rhythms. You do get, like, more focused, grand, epic guitar melodies, complete with a lot of those symphonic synths and some fittingly grand-scale soloing. Not the kind of thing that's probably going to change any minds anytime soon, but I know who I am as a person, and I think this shit slaps.
I, on the other hand, have thoughts. Namely that I think there's just too much layering going on in the main chorus. It just feels too... It feels like it's trying too hard. Also, you're telling me these guys are capable of slowing the fuck down in their choruses? That's my main gripe here. Too much double bass and blast beat overuse is what kills this for me. Like, this is clearly a late 2000s style metalcore song in a very out-of-place tech death package. It feels like we're trying to do two things, and unlike me, this is not good multitasking. Also, this song doesn't have a fitting outro to it. No second reprise to lead everything out. It's just a quick fade, and that's kind of lame. Anyway, I'll just listen to Walk Could Be in Hell instead for the same message.
Ah, yes, of course. Anyway, let's move on to the next track. Oh, hey, there's a name we haven't heard from in, I forget how many years, but hey, we got some new Blood Orange.
Yeah, Like, recently he has been doing mostly a lot of, like, score work from either, for either film or apparently scoring a Broadway play called Job. And doing and clapping with acts like Turnstile and Lord. One of these
dudes. Yeah, that Turnstile thing was a thing.
Yeah, and now he's back with a new track called The Field, which has a lot of collaborators on him with Rudy Cullum. I hope I'm saying it right. Tariq El Sabar, Daniel Caesar, and hey, Caroline Polachek. Some of those, two of the names I recognize.
Motherfuckers on this.
Two of the names I recognize from this. And, okay, like, knowing Blood Orange, at least from what I listen to for the past years, like, I know, like, okay, sometimes he does some R&B shit, sometimes he does, like UK garage type of, UK pop type of shit, which, this is more that least UK pop type of shit. Like it's very I want to say airy, more like skittish in a way. Which of course you got, well, most of, like, everyone like between vocals to it, like vocals to it, and I thought, okay, this kind of does well. Like me, I was like, it's not really like one person outshining out, you know, it's like, you know, they either sing with the chorus or you know, basically together, like you say, like, okay, I think I hear a couple of chicken there, kind of, and I think this Daniel Caesar, maybe that's the other two guys. Okay, that's Blood Orange. But I thought, okay, this is kind of cozy. It's kind of cozy, and the girls go with the video, which is basically a bunch of people in hanging out in rural England. And apparently, who was on the video is Naomi Scott. You know, the one actress you heard from Smile 2, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Neat.
Yeah. So, the song's nice. I mean, I don't know if we're getting another Blood Orange album, or at least, I mean, I know he's doing a lot of score work to some things, but I don't know, getting a studio album. I don't know. That's as far as I'm looking, but yeah.
Maybe we'll hear sooner rather than later. Anyway, let's move on to the final track here. So, the last time we heard a proper studio album from the synthwave producer turned kind of gothic post-punk act Perturbator was in 2011 with the album Lustful Sacraments, which is exactly where that kind of broader stylistic pivot really started to happen. Great album, by the way. It was in my year-end list for 2021. You all should check it out if you haven't yet. But now we finally have word of Perturbator's newest studio album on the horizon. Another release on October 10th, funnily enough. It's called Age of Aquarius, and we have the lead-off single called Apocalypse Now. Which is weird, because I always thought Heart of Darkness was way better. Anyway, so, yeah, this lead single here features guest contributions by Christopher Rigg of the band Ulver. And this one, again, you could definitely hear, like, it's way... It does kind of feel like it's still stemming off from what Lustful Sacraments was doing, in the sense that you have these, like, sort of grand, droning, dramatic synths, the very haunting, sort of gothic vocal delivery. The beat is very, like, it kind of has this weird dichotomy where it simultaneously feels kind of floaty and disembodied, while it's also being driven by a lot of rapid fills on the, hi-hat, as it were. And it is mainly just all, like, atmosphere like that. But, I mean, I am definitely interested in, like, whatever this new album ends up being. Like, whether it's a continuation or even, like, further swerve. Who knows? It could still be a mood, as the kids would say.
You know, if I had to guess, I'd say the song says something about the state of everything right now, but that's just a baseline guess from me. Everybody deserves to go to prison for the rest of their lives. Who said that? My God, that wasn't me. That was someone else.
Yeah, that's evil, Alex.
Yeah, let me just, okay, done.
Oh, thank God. We didn't have to slap evil Alex in a maid outfit this time.
I'm not even going to question it anymore.
Digital circus references. But anyway, that's about it for the new song discussion. And since we're skipping over that whole double XL freshman... Seriously, 1900 Rugrat, that's so fucking stupid. Sorry. Let's get back on track. So we do have only one news topic to discuss here, and it concerns something we brought up previously, that being Legendary Entertainment's upcoming new adaptation of Street Fighter. You know, that actually reminds me, one of these days I'm gonna need to actually sit down and watch The Legend of Chun-Li. I've always wanted to, if only for the reason that the Spill.com guys swear up and down by Chris Klein being hilarious in that movie. However, so we had some casting news the last time, specifically news of country singer Orville Peck being a part of the film cast. But now, not only do we have another announced addition to the cast, we actually have properly characters assigned to the various actors. So let's actually start off with the newest addition here. The newest actor joining the roster of this fighting game adaptation is a Mr. Curtis Jackson, better known as Mr. 50 Cent.
Yeah, remember him?
So something, something, get Hadoukens or die trying.
Okay.
And in this movie, he will play Balrog, a disgraced boxer who was the bodyguard of the villain.
Boy, that's just okay.
Now, if I remember, like, if I remember
the sources.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
Sorry, I was just gonna say, like, according to the piece, it's also saying that, like, he's training for the part and will be doing his own stunts for the picture. Or die trying.
I mean, I guess it makes about as much sense logistically as casting Roman Reigns to be Akuma. Sure, why not?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, if I can recall, like, now who last person to play Balrog in a movie? If I can recount, I know in The Legend of Chun-Li, he was played by, the late Michael Clark Duncan, I believe. Which, I guess you have to beef up. Which, okay, and, well, if you're going to figure how many still will act, have you seen movies where he acts? He's, not exactly a good actor. If you count like basically most of the direct video shit he's been in, and the fact that and yes, I know he was a movie he with Robert De Niro and Al Pacino once, which I heard kind of sucked.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah, remember Righteous Kill?
That's unfortunate. Nope, not at all.
And considering 50 Cent, well, since he ain't rapping anymore, he's doing shit for a while. Like, it's been more of his TV empire. Considering if you're black and you know the Power Series on Stars, then yeah, that's bread and butter because they got.
Yeah,
got power. The book of
there's that.
The book of shit. I forgot. There's a lot of power spinoffs on Stars, yeah. and also black mafia family. Yeah,
yeah.
Anyway, like we said.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, so I want to add one thing. Like, you point on last game that wants the 50 Cent Action Fast Channel. That's on Roku and LG Fast platform. yes, 50 Cent Action, which I think I've seen a channel before, but yeah, that's what he's known for now. Okay, I'm done.
Oh God, so much 50 Cent stuff. Oh, don't forget about the part where he's like bitching to pull out of his city because do you like the Democratic Socialist?
Oh my God. There are so many people who don't know what the fuck is going on and need to shut the fuck up. Reopen the schools, sell the books, teach these people proper, basic, fundamental everything.
Yeah. We desperately need that. And we also desperately need to probably actually read the rest of the casting. Because like I said, now that we actually have character names assigned to the actor. So let's revisit, first of all, Orville Peck. Funnily enough, when we last spoke about this, we mentioned that in the second film, they cast a musician to play the character of Vega. And Orville Peck is going to be Vega in the new movie.
Hmm.
And, yeah, Mr. Joe Anna Whitey is apparently playing fucking Akuma. Andrew Koji from Warrior is playing Ryu. Kalina Liang from Presence is playing Chun-Li. And, let's see, it also mentions, Jason Momoa playing Blanca. You know, the big green dude who's Brazilian. Noah Centineo as, Ryu's rival Ken. But the question is, does he look like a Ken doll? I don't know. I just wanted to make a Ken joke.
Well, if anything, he's just Ken.
So, yeah, this is the new casting announcements and updates. How many musicians do you think are going to be in this movie? Is it just those two?
Let's see.
Or are we going to find a way to get more? Like, what's the likelihood they put fucking, I don't know, goddamn Chris Jericho in a role?
Don't put that evil out into the world. We don't need it. Nor do we want it.
I mean, I don't want 50 Cent movies either, but here we are.
I give it 2 years minimum before this thing actually comes out.
Yeah. Good fucking lord.
Yeah, I mean, they're considering a release date yet, and once again, I say Legendary Entertainment. I mean, I know they'll do it themselves, or we can distribute it for them, because, like, I mean, they still got some stuff with Warner, but not entirely a lot. I mean, they were part of that fucking Minecraft movie thing.
Yeah, I still haven't seen that. I still refuse to accept the idea that the director of Napoleon Dynamite is getting work in 2025. Did we not learn from Gentlemen Broncos?
Okay, I heard things. I heard I'm guessing it's bad.
I don't know. Gentlemen Broncos or the Minecraft movie?
Gentlemen Broncos.
Oh, yeah. I still remember the Spell podcast. That's the only thing I associate that movie with.
Well, from Napoleon Dynamite to just... Well, I mean, then again, I haven't got it. Did he have something, Nacho Libre, too? Well, you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
my favorite Jack Black movie, and wait, hang on. He directed three more movies between Gentlemen Broncos and Minecraft? What the fuck?
Well, they were smaller projects.
What the fuck is Thelma the Unicorn? Huh? You're trolling me. This is not a real movie. Anyway,
would it surprise you if it was a Netflix project?
Yes!
Well, that's what it was. And it has Brittany Howard in it.
Brittany from Alabama Shakes?
Okay.
Yeah.
What the... We gotta move on. I am getting too deep in the rabbit hole at this point. We gotta move on out of here before we get stuck. So, yeah. Street Fighter movie, there's your casting announcements. For now. So... Let's move on, because that's the one topic, and apparently this weekend is fucking America's birthday or whatever the fuck, I don't goddamn know. And so you probably won't be surprised that as far as
Fireworks Day.
Or in this fucking neighborhood, fireworks 2 weeks. You motherfucker, wait until the day up. Anyway, so yeah, your new album releases for the week of July 4th, 2025. Unsurprisingly, not a lot happening. The only two of note that are here include the newest album from Dropkick Murphys titled For the People and the new Kesha album, Period. But now it's time to clean house and get the fuck out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
The usual places. The Discord, other Discords, the other show I do, which Anime Expo's happening. The place where we all are, where the cool kids hang out, where it's nice and cool, and also very chaotic because life, and also other places you might see me pop up. I'm not going to tell you what. We'll just have to find out on your own.
Mysteries. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Of course I'm on Blue Sky, where I just finished my whole thread thing that I've been doing for the past two to three months. And, of course, my site, MondoHype1.com, where, of course, new anime season starting, meeting, time of the season, summer edition starting. And hopefully on the site, there might be something coming on there soon, a new article that yours truly has written. all let's be honest, I think y'all know at this point what I'm going to write about. Yeah, just, you'll know.
You will indeed. As for me, you can find me on Blue Sky at Rob Barracuda, as well as other places by that name. You can, you know, subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New Audioli episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky at Surreal Resolution. Visit the website surrealresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A. I might have something upcoming in the next few days or so to write, so stay tuned for that. Of course, be sure to jump into our Discord chat so you can always be notified whenever new stuff goes up on the site. And of course, thank you for listening this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual weekly business. And until then, boy, I sure am glad I'm not asking Alexandria right now.
Oh, no.